Bergen Amateur Radio Association Thursday Night Technical Net. My call is W2TGT. My name is Gordon. And tonight we will have a wonderful time exploring various technical topics of interest to any or all of us. Before we start, is there anyone who needs to make a priority or emergency call? Okay, very fine. At this time, I'd like to encourage people to consider signing into the net. We have a wonderful hobby with many, many diverse interest areas. And I'm sure you know something about one thing or another. Maybe you want to share it, or maybe you have a technical question. Either way, so we look forward to you signing in. County FM Association, and they graciously allowed us to use the repeater for this net, and also our Wednesday night net here on 7-9, and also our Tuesday night 9 p.m. net on 43-100, which rounds out the week with a non-repeater net on 10 meters on Monday on 28-350. Our 10 meter net is always the kickoff of the week, unless we have a meeting on Sunday night, on the first Sunday of the month, and all amateurs are invited to that. So at this time, I would encourage anyone with technical questions or something they might want to talk about that interests them to please check in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a topic or a question. At this time, please call K2BAR. Okay, that almost worked. We had a lot of people. Let's see. Any calls beginning with the letter November, please call first.
N2OEL, I have a question.
N2OEL, good evening, Noel. That was a question. Anybody else with an N call? Okay, anybody with a kilo call, please call K2BAR.
K2ORN.
K2ORS, your name, please.
K2ORN, this is Robert.
I'm sorry, Robert, I'm not in my normal shack. I'm actually in fixed mobile mode here. Alrighty, very good. Good evening to you. Anybody else with a kilo call?
K2AMI, Tony, no questions. Yes.
Okay, Tony, and I guess you've had enough, but good evening. Anybody else with a kilo call?
KC2AWX, name is Harvey in beautiful Fair Lawn, New Jersey. And I don't have anything at the moment, but give me a few minutes and I'll think of something.
Anybody else with a kilo call? Okay, anybody with an alpha call, please call K2BAR. Okay, and finally, anybody with a whiskey call, please call K2BAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net.
This is Whiskey 2, Japan Echo Kilowatt, done. No question.
Good evening, Donald. Anybody else? Okay, well, we have a start, and we have someone with a question. So I'm going to go right to the question. Noel, N2OEL, this is K2BAR. What is your question, sir?
Okay. It has to do with my recent upgrade spectrum. One of the questions was, which way does a loop have directivity? And now, I know what a loop is, and I always assumed that if I was looking through the loop, that would be the area where you get the greatest direction, and to the left and right, I would have lead signal. But when I looked in the magazine, or the, said question, it said, no, 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 it's the other way. When you look, that's the null, when you're looking through the loop. Is that correct, Gordon?
You know, I think you stumped me. I don't know. I think your answer is correct, but boy, you know, it's easy to think that it might be broadside might be better. Well, no, the answer is broadside. It's vertically mounted and fed from the bottom.
Vertically mounted and fed from the bottom, and I checked it in three or four different places on the web because I didn't believe the answer. They showed me a loop, and they showed me looking at it straight down to the top, and it's a figure eight with the null being broadside and the strong one being in the direction of the loop.
Yeah, I understand. Do we have anybody else who's got shows you more concrete knowledge than my waffling on this one?
J-E-K.
Don, go for it.
Yeah, I think I saw that too. I mean, you think of a quad antenna as such as a loop, and you have a direct route back of it in the front of it, rather, and a direct route back of it, and so on. So it would be that, you would obviously say that it was would go that way. But I'm thinking possibly where the confusion is that some of these loops, little small loops, something like 3 feet in diameter that are used for direction finding or as a small stealth type of antenna kind of a thing. IMFJ manufactured one, I think, with a remote tuner and everything. It might be a little different with those. I'm just not sure about it, but that could be where the difference lies. Over.
Yeah, just one thought. Noel, was this a multi-turn loop?
It's a question on the extra exam. I don't remember if it said multi-turn or not. It just said loop antenna, and I looked at it, and I said, see, I always thought quad. Quad, director, deflector, the strongest signal is in the, when you look through the loop, that's the strongest signal. And then I got the question wrong. So I went and looked up the answer, and the answer is the other way. It's a figure eight. The null is when you're standing there looking through the loop. Okay, I'm in a quadri. Everything I know about quads is one way. The answer is the other. So I said, wait a minute. I couldn't possibly have the answer wrong. So I went and looked it up. I checked it. The answer's right. So now I'm in an impossible quandary. I have two answers, both correct, and they're directly opposite.
W2AKR repeater.
That if it's the other way, the presence of the reflector or a director may change that radiation pattern. I'm going to go look it up, but I can't do it right now. That's fascinating. So bottom fed, vertically oriented loop. So we'll check it later. And by the way, at that point it should be horizontally polarized by definition. So we'll take that under advisement. Anybody else have any comments on this topic? It's very good. Okay, very good. Tony, do you have an announcement?
Good evening, Gordon. This is K2AMI, and thanks for picking up the net tonight. I guess the major announcement is that we have only 9 days left to the ham fest. Is that the nature of the announcement you had in mind? I also do need some volunteers. Again, if you didn't sign in, there's no excuse. You still can be a volunteer. And any time from 5:30 to 11 o'clock is a good time to volunteer. If you can't do the whole stretch, you can do a couple of hours in that period. Come on down and help out at the parking lot or in the Barrett table or the supervisor for the money collection. They'll find a job for you. That's the major announcement that I might have, Gordon. Did you have something else in mind?
Nope. That would suffice. Gee, that's kind of interesting. All right, now I'll make a quick spin through the check-ins to see if anyone has any comments, and then I'll bring up a subject or two, and we'll then see where that goes. KC2RRX, Mr. Roberts, over to you. Any comments from you on the subject, or on any subject?
Yeah, Gordon, I got two. One for Tony, he knows I'll be at the Hamfest tonight early, maybe with the front pick for him. And second, did you get the email from Tony about the state bill they are trying to pass on amateur radio? There's no wireless in the car?
If it's set out today, no.
So check your email, because I got it last night from the St. County thing here from St. County, and I sent it out to Tony.
Okay, so this would be a bill that would prevent us from operating our ham radios while in motion because of the stupid wording of the law?
No, because it's somebody down the track and he's only pulled out the email.
I think I said the same thing, just different words. Okay. Alright, well, I'm sure it can be corrected. Not a big deal. That's good to know, and let's see what the subject is at hand before we get too crazy, okay?
All right, I'm going to clear with Chase and VAR. I'm going to clear. I got things to do around here. So have a good night, Gordon. Take care. Tony, have a good night. I'll see you nice and early on a day at a ham fest.
Okay, Robert. Very fine. Thank you. All right, KC2AWX. Harvey, how's that 10-meter dipole working?
Oh, it works fine. No problem with that. I got to tell you, this is a funny thing. Last week, I called the Ministry of Communications in Israel, and I told them, I said, I have 10-meter privileges here, and can I use my privileges over there? So someone at the ministry says, why, certainly, yes, you're welcome to use it. Well, this morning, I received an email from the president of the Israel Radio Club, Jerry, 4X6 Kilo Juliet, saying, no way, you didn't pass your 5 words a minute code test, you can't broadcast. Now I was wondering, what if I passed my general and didn't pass CW? What could I do over there? KC2AWX.
Well, I tell you, you might want to not operate unless you get clearance from the proper authorities, lest you get in trouble. You know how it is, you know, with the Israeli Ministry of Telecommunications. You don't need that kind of agita, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, you don't want somebody with my sugar on you. You know, it's be very bad. All right. Well, that's interesting. But I think the bottom line is no CW, no HF privileges. I think that's the bottom line. At least that's how I'm thinking about it. Be very interesting if I went there. Because, well, I'd actually pass if I were to admit that, so it wouldn't matter. But and so is Nancy. But let's say my son John decides to get his extra. Then what? Who knows? I guess we'll find out in the not too distant future. Alrighty. Mr. Don, W2JEK, W2, pardon me, K2BAR.
K2BAR, and then that W2JEK, yeah, I was just looking some stuff on the computer. I built an antenna called a rock loop. And if you put rock loop into your Google mode, you can see something about it, but I have to go back into my Michigan QRP, 5 Water magazines, where it was originally described, and I think he described the radiation pattern of the loop antenna there. It could be that we are talking about two different things. We're the small loop like I was thinking of, which is this rock loop is about 3 foot square, and a big loop like the quad, which is a full wave. That I think could possibly have something to do with the radiation pattern. It might be in the ARRL's antenna handbook too, so I have to look at that. Maybe I could just get a chance to at some other town. He could down in Salford to find my antenna book. Not much else going on here. I'm aware of the bill, and I just recently had to send a few emails out to legislators about a couple other bills that were pertained to my activities. And you just write to ASM Jones at JLEJ.org, and the email should go through. I think that's the way it should be. It's not hard to do. Back to Net, W2KK.
Comment? Go ahead, comment. Andrew?
K2BAR, this is KC2KIS, and I've got the ARRL Antenna Handbook 19th edition, page 5.3, figure 4, talks about small loop antennas, and they have the pattern on the page in the top left corner, and they show the loop edge on, and if you look at the loop edge, basically a circle edge on, it's a straight line, and they have that in the vertical arrangement with the a figure 8 directly over that. So in if you look through the center of the circle, you'd have a null through the center of the circle. But once you start putting it in a quad, it draws the signal down the quad. So that might answer your question. Over.
It may not, because you're talking about small loops. A full-wave loop may be different, but we'll find out. We'll look further. That's helpful. I have one little minor glitch. Because of it being Ascension Thursday, I am having a late dinner. So I'm going to have to actually bail on the net early tonight. But I wanted to point out something. ICOM came up with a new radio, and I think also Yaesu and Kenwood, well, Yaesu did anyway, an additional to the K3 that showed up recently on the market. And we're going to have a quick overview, or not so quick overview, of their features next week, and I'll be sending out URLs probably to Tony, I guess, to distribute those. So if Tony, when I get the URLs together, we'll have people will be able to, if you can just circulate them to the net, and people can look at them, and we'll have a discussion of the, you know, comparative features of the latest toys coming out of Dayton next week. That will be the topic. General discussion, if we want to do a deep dive on any one of them later on subsequent nets, that might be an interesting series to go through. What's new? Because, as you know, the manufacturers dish their products. ICOM's new 7700 is a very, very interesting toy, to say the least. Anyway, may I be excused, and will someone take the reins of the net at this time? This is K2BAR. Ooh, ouch. No one wants to take the reins of the net? N2OEL, since you had a question, W2TTT.
Hello. I have a second question when you're ready.
Ah, good. Would you pose the question to the net and take control of the net this time?
Okay. I will be happy to do that.
Thank you very much. Our check-ins are, or were, KC2KIS, W2JDK, KC2AWX, K2AMI, KC2ORX, who is no longer there, yourself, and yours truly. Thank you very much, gentlemen, but dinner came late because of the holiday, so I have to go and attend to that. So thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing you all next week for a very exciting post-Dayton where the toys net. That will be the topic. And Tony and Andrew, I'll send you notes on that one too. N2OEL, W2, TTT, 4K2BAR, transfer and control of that. Thank you.
Okay, Gordon. I got K2AMI, KC2KIS. Tony, do you remember who else is here? Aha. Andrew, do you remember who else is here?
Good evening.
There's John, W2JAK, Harvey, KC2AWX, you mentioned Tony, yourself, myself, and KC2ORX did check in, but he checked out as well. Back to you.
Thank you. My question is, as you may have known, my verdict B fell out two days ago. My quadcom fell out. I intend to put up an inverted V. However, the way my lattice laid out, I would sort of have to tilt it slightly. My technical question for the group is, if you take an inverted V, which is basically a letter A, and you lean it over 10, 15, or 20 degrees from the vertical in a particular direction, keep the point maybe 50 feet off the ground, keep the end maybe 20 feet off the ground, will this change the pattern much? That's my question. So first, let's go to KC2AWS. Harvey, what do you think?
All right. Let me see. Nope, that won't work either. I don't have expertise on that type of thing, so I can't make a comment on it. But if you want a 10-meter dipole, I can help you on that. KC2AWX.
Thank you, Harvey. KC2AWX. KC2AWX. Doc, W2JK. Do you have any ideas on that?
N2OEL and the group W2JEK. Yeah, one thing that I recall in one of my antenna books is called Simple and Fun Antennas for the Radio Amateur. It's an AORL publication for the beginner. And they were describing an inverted V on, let's say, a 40-meter inverted V, and compared to a dipole for 40 meters. And either the inverted V or the straight flat top dipole looks about the same. However, when you get on 15 meters, you find out that the inverted V configuration is much poorer than the flat top configuration. So if you're going to use this as a multi-band antenna, I would recommend you try to get as much flat top out there as you can with what your physical situation is. But I think that would be to your advantage. Now, I have a 40-meter dipole that I use on 15 meters, and I work all over the world. One end of it's about 22 feet off the ground, and the other end's about 30 feet off the ground, and the high end is toward the north, and the low end's toward the south, and I work into Europe like a bandit, and I work all over the world, actually, with the thing. I guess you put it up the way you can, and just see what the results are. Probably wouldn't matter that much, but something to put up the antenna within your limitations, I guess. Just try it out and see if it works. And that's better than no antenna at all, that's for sure. Back to Ned.
Thank you, John. Don't forget, this is G5RV. is cut for, I guess, 80 meters is what it really is. And then on the other frequencies, it has all those little lobes and stuff because, what, at 10 meters, it's got 3 or 4 half waves on each side. So, let's see, 10 meters is like 8 foot, and each half of it is 51 feet. So it's going to have lots of lobes, I suspect. Andrew, KTVIS, this is KTVIS. Your comments, please.
Well, the short answer is I'd like to put your antenna configuration into a computer program and see what happens. The long answer is, or the second shorter answer is, put it up and try it, and if it's tuned up for resonance, use that frequency and see if, how well it works. And the long answer is work it out on paper, I guess. But it's going to have some type of impact. My guess is the lobe is going to have a higher takeoff angle on the high side. What I call the high side, the side where it's furthest from the ground off the vertical, so anything greater than 90 degrees. So you might not be getting the same radiation angle out, and you'd be working a shorter skip. On the other side, I'm guessing you would be getting less efficiency out of the antenna and a lower radiation angle, and it might not be even though the radiation angle is lower, you might not be getting as much efficiency in that direction, so you might be losing some signal. That's the long answer, in my opinion. Back to you.
That sounds interesting. Well, if we carried the logic forward and kept bending it up and laying it over, in effect, and bringing the legs up, eventually I would have a V antenna, which I believe has gain in the direction of the inside of the V and less gain toward the back. But I'm not sure. Tony, K2AMI, this is K2BAR. Do you have any comments on that?
This is K2AMI, and I'm sorry, guys. I just need to be involved in installing a part of my amplifier here, and I got my fingers tied into wires and soldering irons, and I really have not been concentrating on your question. But I tell you what I do is I put up an antenna, and I don't care what the lobes are or what it is, I just care if it works, and if it has the low SWR, and I'm happy. There's limitations on where you can place your trees and where you can place your maximum point and how you can place your feed line. And if you were to put on the computer program, you would come up with ideal situations based upon ideal input of the high length feed line direction and so forth. So I don't worry too much about it. I put it up, put a tuner on it if I need to, and run with it. That's it. Back to net control.
So that's it. I'm about tossed out. So one last go around, see if there's anything to be said. If there's anybody that I missed, now's the time for them to speak. Did I miss anybody? Come now, please. Call KTVAR.
Late check-in, WI2W, Steve. Another late check-in, KO2, okay.
Fine, and I put my pen down. Wow. KO2, okay. And Steve,
WI2W. Yeah, good evening all. I don't have any comments on the antenna question. I understand you want to tilt it over a little bit, I suppose, maybe. Well, maybe I do have a comment. If you lean back in the chair, it probably worked just fine. Sorry about that. Just couldn't resist.
Okay, and I'll bring up the first question that we had. As you know, in a quad loop, when you start adding elements, the greatest gain is in direction as you look through the loop. However, on the anodirectional test, I missed that question the first three times until I looked it up, and it says it's a figured eight pattern with null as you look through the loop. So that was my original question. Bennett, if you have comments on either one, I'll turn it over to you. KO2OK, KUVAR.
K2BAR, KO2OK. Hello, Noel, and everybody. I've been looking for about 8 minutes, 10 minutes or so. I came late. My daughter had a concert in school today, a fifth grade concert, end of the year concert, and actually my son had a concert at the high school, and my wife went to that one. It's just like, I can't believe that they scheduled the same day. Anyway, I don't have any comments on the antenna questions. I'm sorry. And I wish I could speak from experience on building something like that, but I haven't. I haven't built a loop. So I guess that would make me remember much better than trying to read it, study it in the book, and then believe it. So sorry about that, Noel. I'll come back to you. KO2, okay.
Okay, thank you, Bennett. Harvey, KG2AWX, over to you.
All right, KC2AWX. Let me see. Yeah, I have a question. I noticed in the MFJ catalog there is an antenna. It's a loading coil with a collapsible whip antenna on it. Now, to pick out the band, it's got a pigtail that you move to a different section of the coil. Now, my question is, do I need a tuner on that type of antenna?
Yes, you do. It's a very narrow banding type. Basically, you've got the original screwdriver where you had several collections. Unfortunately, each collection probably, I'm not sure, 20K, 50K, with reasons are very small with reasons for SWR. However, we could go over to somebody who has more experience. John, W2JEK, your opinion. This is K2BAR.
Yeah, K2BAR in the group, W2JEK. Well, I think it's a windowsill semi-vertical. It's about a 10-foot whip or something like that with a coil at the bottom. And I guess theoretically you could match it to a particular frequency. Of course, if you move much, you're going to have, because it's so short, it's not going to be that efficient. You're going to be losing a lot of power in that loading coil. It would be good, let's say, on the higher band, 10, 15, 20 meters. And not so good. You think of it more as like a little bit bigger than a mobile whip. And of course, the other part of the equation is what kind of a ground system you have. You should have some kind of a counterpoise wire that would be a quarter wave long running around the inside of the room. Now, when I was doing portable operation down in Pennsylvania, you had a similar situation. I had a 40-meter dipole. The half of it was out the window, stretched over the, from the second floor bedroom, stretched over my mother-in-law's deck. And the other half of the dipole was run around the baseboard inside the moon, and I got out pretty good with that. So you have to think about that part of it too. You might, I did not bother with the toner. Maybe I should have, but I didn't. Then again, you're dealing with an antenna that is very short. If it's toned up, I guess it would be fine, but I think you'd have to do a lot of changing of the tap if you did a lot of frequency excursions. Back to that.
Thank you, Don. I suspect the, what's the original screwdriver? Didn't it have like, you know, one or two taps for each band? So it's pretty narrow. Andrew, over to you. Take KT2KIS.
Sorry, I didn't catch the question. I was playing with the
the software as far as loop antennas, and it looks like if you drop the antenna flat on the ground, as it were, if the antenna is parallel to the ground, the loop, then it looks like polarization is that way. If you turn it sideways, then it's vertically polarized. That's at 14 hertz. So I'm still playing with the software to try and come up with an answer to your first question.
Well, thank you. Tony, K2AMI, any comments on Harvey's question?
I'm again sorry, guys. I'm working on a project and not concentrating and listening. Maybe Harvey, can you give me the question one more time? I'll take a shot at it. Harvey, could I ask you to please repeat the question?
Right. It's an antenna. It's called a railing antenna. It's a loading coil with about a 6-foot telescopic antenna. And on the coil, it has a tap. Taps for the different bands. And you could select what band. And I was thinking 10 meters. Now my question is, do I need a tuner with that?
Well, probably yes. Now, the loading coil is only going to give you the effect of avoiding a ground plane. But the loading coil is not part of the tuning. The adjustable rod that you're pulling out, if it's adjustable in length on the 10-meter band, that could act as the tuner. But where they have the band markings on the rod, that would be one point only on a 10-meter band. Do you understand that you guys can visualize tuning forks when you're dealing with musical instruments? Do you understand violin strings and how long they are and how they resonate? Well, of course, the violin thickness changes too. But, resonance depends upon the length of the antenna. You're only going to find one true point where you have a resonance on any antenna, and that's based mainly upon the length of that antenna. Now, if you want to distort that length, then you have to add an inductor to simulate extending the antenna, or a capacitor to shorten it. So you're only going to have one true resonant point where they've marked a band without a tuner. You need a tuner. Anybody else disagree or agree? I'll turn it back to Harvey for questions.
Yeah, all right. Can I use an auto-tuner on that?
Yes, an auto-tuner will work. Any machine, any device that tunes will work. But again, the auto-tuner, again, is simulating, extending, or shortening the antenna. If you had a mechanical tuner with a roller inductor, you do the same thing. In the case of an auto-tuner, you've got coils that are switched in and out with a relay until you get the proper match. Yes, an auto-tuner will work.
Comment?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Harvey, this is W2JEK. I know that SFJ makes whipped antennas, just a whip antenna. I think one's about 10 feet long and one's about 12 feet long. It's just a whip antenna. And if you're just going to use it for 10 meters, you can get the whip antenna, stretch it out to 8 feet or 8 and a half feet or whatever, and that would be the one half of your antenna. The other half of the antenna could be what would you call a counterpoise wire connected right where the coax connects to the antenna, connected to the shield of the coax rather than the center conductor. Of course, the center conductor would be connected to your 8.5-foot whip. That might be an answer to your problem. Of course, you'd have to pick up some kind of a mounting port for the clamp and whatnot. Back to that, this is W2JK.
Thank you, Doc. I think the thing is, Harvey, when you have a full length of wire that has a relatively wide bandwidth, you have an antenna that's, cut for a band, say, 40 meters, you might have 200K a reasonable SWR. What it's a, you know. But if you took that same antenna, made it 10 foot long, and loaded the heck out of it, your tuning point to the same SWR will be much, much less. It might be 10K, 15K, not 200. So that's why you just need a tuner if you're going to do any moving around the band. Steve, over to you. WI2W.
W2AKR repeater.
Yeah, I don't have any comments. I've not used one personally. Hanging out the window. I wonder if Andrew might have any comments.
Oops, what's with me and antennas hanging out the window? Just 1 second. Okay, yeah, great. Come back to the computer speakers. I have a antenna that's it's about an 8 foot width, got a coil at the bottom, which is attached to the center of the coax, and have a counterpoise. And I got the antenna analyzer on that, and I found out which coil, which part of the coil was the right spot, and got that balanced with the right amount of wire as the counterpoise, and it's very narrow, and I need an auto tuner just to move a couple of KCs up and down the band on 20 meters.
Bennett, KO2OK, just in case of the air.
I know, K2BAR, KO2OK. I have, sorry, no comments. I'm also running errands up and downstairs and just catching bits and pieces. I'm sorry, but the antenna that Harvey is describing is a, you know, pretty common type of antenna that seen a lot of mobile use. You know, tappable points on a coil and then a slightly adjustable rod whip arrangement. I guess you can use it for the house, but, you know, that's a very popular mobile-type antenna that people have done all kinds of variations on over the years, including, what's it called? Is it called the Outbacker or something? What's the one where you have the banana clip that you push into the antenna at different points to pick up different parts of the coil, and then you can also adjust the top rod? But, you know, used in conjunction with an auto-tuner, sure, it makes things a lot quicker. But sorry, I may have missed another part of the question. So back to net, KO2OK.
I think we're about tossed out. Does anybody else have any comments, questions, anything? Please come up.
W2JK.
Go ahead, Don.
I remember an article on phone at Sevic who wrote it. Series on short vertical antennas, and especially on balance. He wrote a book on balance and units, which I guess something I don't understand. But what he was doing with one antenna was a short antenna, and normally the resistance of a quarter wave antenna would be approximately 32 ohms. And he had shortened the antenna down so it was approximately 12 and a half ohms. And what he did with that is he ran a reverse balance of that. And he then used a this 4-to-1 balance in reverse so that it transformed the 12 and a half ohms up to 50 ohms. And was able to match a 50 ohm cable, and of course the other end of the cable was a 50 ohms to the transmitter. But I can see that for a home antenna, we have time to play with it and just set the thing up right. But I think for what Harvey wants is a portable antenna. You're going to have to deal with some kind of a tuner possibly, and some way to adjust that loading coil, such as the antenna analyzer and the auto tuner would be probably a good idea. I think that's about where it's at for you there, Harvey. So back to net. This is W2JK.
Thank you, Don. Does anybody else have any comments before we close the net? Please come now.
K2AMI, back to Harvey.
Go ahead, Tom.
Harvey, let me understand. Will you just be using 10 meters when you're operating in Israel? Will that be the only band you're using? And then I would leave your oral terminal, okay? I would get a fixed rod that you could pull out, either extendable rod, pre-measured at home, pre-tested at home, make sure that it's resonant on 10 meters, and travel just with one rod that'll resonate on 10 meters, or one length of wire, or one dive goal that cuts to 10 meters. And so don't try to skirt over the band as a transmitter. Any antenna will receive something, but to get a resonant antenna on 10 meters, why don't you just concentrate on the one band and one frequency? Not one band, but the one portion of the band. No? Harvey, would that suffice?
Good evening.
Thank you. KC2AWS. Well, I've got some good news and bad news. Over there, I'm allowed to be on 6-440 and everything else that's above that, but not 10 meters. They tell me now I need 5 words a minute, CW. But the Ministry of Communication says, yes, you can broadcast. But the president of the Israel League said, no way. So I'll just be on 6 meters and 2. Thank you, gentlemen. KC2AWX.
Okay, Harvey. Does anybody else have any comments?
I have one question for Don. If I could just pose the question, maybe you can answer it quickly. Don, on an extra class license, what are the numbers, what is the exam? Is it 50 questions? And if it is 50, how many are you allowed wrong? Do you know that off the top of your head, Don? I just have not memorized that.
Okay, this is W2JK. It's 50 questions on the extra exam, and I think you have to get 37 correct. So that would be about 37, about 13 wrong, something like that, I guess, to make the 50. So that would be the answer.
All right, thank you very much. I'm hoping to bring W2P and I, my nephew, to the session on the ham test. And he's been studying the exam and been doing very well, but he's concerned as to how many he's allowed wrong, and he's gotten far less than that so far, so let's hope it's better. All right, thank you again, Noel, for taking the net tonight, and I'll pass it back to you for a final wrap-up there.
Well, thank you, Tony. Seeing that we've talked the subject to death, let's close the net. We'll thank the Bourbon County FM Association for the use of the repeater, and return the 79 repeater back to its normal use. This is KTVAR, saying 7Z3 to everybody. Have a great day.